from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. This past week, it was the anniversary of September 11. And throughout the nation, there were tributes and memorials of those who sacrificed during this indeed trying time in our nation. I saw on the cover of the Daily Corinthian one day this week where there were firefighters dressed in all of their equipment and gear, with the helmets on and the mask on their face and the tanks on their back and the intense fireproof suits, in the middle of the day in the scorching heat, and they were walking up and down the football stadium in Corinth in tribute of those who took that journey on that faithful day. When so many people were running away from the Twin Towers, when devastation and destruction was upon them, there were a chosen few, right, who instead of running away, ran into the destruction. What a sacrifice and gift, a willingness to serve on behalf of others. I also think of those who've represented our nation, and many of you that are assembled here today who've served your country, who've placed yourself in harm's way so that we may know the gift of freedom, of liberty, of deliverance. Well, friends, in our scripture today, we hear this story, this parable that Jesus tells of the lost sheep. And there's aspects of this story that speak to us of that sacrificial surrender of the shepherd. In a way even far greater to those who responded to the threat on 9/11, who found themselves running into the fire instead of running away. Friends, that's the word, that's the example given by our Lord today to say how He responds to us in our need. Did you hear that our text says that when the shepherd responded was when the sheep was lost? And I don't know about y'all, if you've ever been lost, that's not a good feeling. It's fearful. If you're a young person, to be lost, you feel alone. You feel, in ways beyond what you can even express, you feel vulnerable. Your safety has been challenged. You don't know if you can make it out alone. Friends, our scripture tells us today that that is when our God runs into the fire and destruction of our life, when we are most helpless and most in need of deliverance. So when does the shepherd go? When we are lost. Our scripture also tells us, not only does our God, the shepherd, come to us when we are most vulnerable, when we need deliverance the most, but our scripture also says this in verse 4, as he talks about when one having 100 sheep and losing one of them leaves the 99. And I like this part. It says he goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. How about that? There's a relentless pursuit. There's an unwillingness to stop until the sheep is found. This morning we have, I don't know if any of y'all have noticed, but we have little Lucy Gwynn here today. Nobody has probably recognized that she's in church today, have you? But Lucy this morning, in preparation for a birthday meal at her home, she was helping her Shishi prepare rolls for the day's meal. And I don't know if you all do this, but we have a little family Snapchat group that we will text each other that everybody in the family can see what's going on and hear about the day's events. Well, we were sent a photo this morning by my mother, our Shishi, of Lucy helping prepare the rolls, and she said, the statement said, Shishi has help. And you can see this little child up on the counter, standing on a stool, and she had a big butter mop, and she was lapping the butter on top of those rolls. And I could just see it oozing all over the rolls and onto the pan. And I would truly recommend to you, if you like buttery rolls, then you need to enlist the services of Lucy to be your bakery chef for the day. She can fix you up. And I suspect those will be the best rolls we'll have in quite some time. Now, in that event, we all know that it would have been much quicker, more efficient, had Sherry just buttered the rolls herself, right? But the fact that she took her time and was patient and enlisted the service of this child, it poured love into that child in a way beyond what she could express. You see, think about this. Our scripture says to us that our God searches us when we are lost, when we are most vulnerable, when we are most need. And when does God stop? Not when it becomes inefficient, like Lucy doing the rose. Not when it could be done more quickly by just giving up on us. Our God stops searching us. Hear me, church. Only when He finds us. That's the relentless pursuit of our Lord. Unlike the pursuit of the Ole Miss defense yesterday, that was quite unrelentless at times. But you know, I noticed that Noah Hill still has an Ole Miss shirt on today. You see, when they're our team, in spite of their performance, we don't give up on them. I saw my niece, Millie, her boyfriend, Drake, yesterday. He's a Mississippi State guy. And Luke asked him, he said, Luke, Drake, did you go to the game today? He said, unfortunately. But that's still his team. We don't give up on those that we love when times are hard, right? Friends, if you're committed to your sports team, can you begin to imagine with me the depths of your God's commitment to you? Our Lord searches until we are found. It doesn't matter why we're lost. It doesn't matter if the brokenness that we are enduring was brought upon us or by someone else. The bottom line is we are sought only and always because we are lost. When we lived in St. Louis, we were fortunate enough to have season tickets to the Cardinal games. We would go regularly priced. We had tickets to one series. Each series we had at least one game. And at these major league baseball venues, oftentimes you have people with entrepreneurial spirits who want to offer you the opportunity to get a brand new credit card. And all you have to do is sign your name on the dotted line. And it's so enticing at these venues that they will often give you a gift just for signing up. Well, Manya and I never fell for this trap until one game. And a cold front came upon us, Leon, and we weren't prepared. And they had these beautiful fleece blankets that if you would simply sign up for the credit card, you'd get a blanket. Well, we didn't sign up for a credit card. We signed up for two. She got one and I got one. And we still had some reservations, Kenny, as we were signing up. There was a young man, really an older man, standing beside us. Probably our age, but he was still living in the 70s, Benton. And he was signing up as we were signing up, and he didn't seem alarmed at all. He was just casually going through it, and he said, "Yeah, man." He said, "We got these blankets. Last week they had beach towels. I got one of those. The week before that they had these cool caps. I got one of those." So he signed up every week, and I said, "Well, what do you do? Do you just tear up the card and cut it up when it comes in?" He said, "Nah, man, I never get approved." He had it going his way, didn't he? Friends, hear me. Our God seeks us. You know, Vince, what the prerequisite for our approval is? That we be lost. Wow. You're approved, Pat. You're approved, church, no matter the depth of your brokenness, of the distance that you may have traveled from God. Perhaps you're further from God at this point today than you've ever been in your life. Maybe you've never been this disenfranchised with your faith. Perhaps you're as weak and most vulnerable right now. And friends, you are approved. For you see, it's not us. It's not the level of our credit. It's the depths of our sin that God looks upon even when we are at our worst and said, "That is why I came, to be your Savior." See, the Scripture says He sought us when we were lost. It doesn't say that the sheep deserve being found, Ken. The sheep may have wandered away on his own. He may have brought it upon himself. But instead of the shepherd saying those words of "I told you so," the shepherd said to those around, "Rejoice with me. For the one that was lost is found." You know, I think of this passage in verse 7, where it says to us about the shepherd rejoicing with his friends and neighbors when the sheep is found. And it says this. He goes on to say, "Just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, over one who turns back to God, than over 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. You know what I think is being said here? We live in a world where people really relish this day and time being right. They really want to argue and say, "My way's best, Betty." They really want to point fingers at everybody they perceive as being wrong. But you know, I hear in our text that our Lord doesn't concentrate so much on our being right, but what He really concentrates on, our being found. Think of the resurrection with me. When Jesus gathered on that beach that day after His resurrection, I don't know about you all, but had I been running the resurrection, I think I would have done it a little differently from Jesus. I think I would have made a trip by Pilate's palace and say, "Hey boys, I'm back." I think I would have been wanting to stand up on a huge platform and say, "Y'all were wrong, I was right." But instead, you know what Jesus' message was to Peter and those on the beach. He said this one question: "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Former president of Union University, David Dockery, said this. He said, "I think if we're going to practice the genuine love of Christ, we need to be more amazed that we are forgiven than that we are right." Friends, these aren't my words. This is the words of the Scripture today that says there's more joy in heaven. There's more celebration from our God when one turns back to Him that was lost than over 99 who are always right. You see, we've all been the one. So whether today you are the one, or you are the 99, may your response be the same: to cherish the grace that delivered you. And as the 99, may we offer the grace and love that we received when we were the one, so that God may get the glory now and forever. Amen.